we'd like to welcome you to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber, and I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Let's take a deeper dive into what it means to be heart leaders. The Heart Leader Podcast starts now. Hi, and welcome to the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I am your host, Amber. And today I am joined by Nick Arapoulos. He is the visionary behind Just Grow. It is a brand that has a podcast and vision videos. It is an amazing heart-centered endeavor that Nick just decided to pour himself into after a decade of an entrepreneur endeavor through many different challenges and just self-fulfilling endeavors that he was back and forth with. And he will explain that journey as we talk. But our focus this month is all about self-love. And that self-love journey is very much what led Nick to where he is today and one of his purposes in this mission. So I am very excited to dive in so he can tell you about the way that he does his podcasts, which is very unique in its own structure, and these vision videos that he has dedicated himself to, and how that has its own unique flair too, and how it all wraps up into this amazing self-love journey that he has, and how it promotes self-love for others. So Nick, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And
that was quite the intro.
Oh, well, you're quite the person. So it's awesome to have you here so you can, one, share your own self-love journey, because there's so much that we learn from each other when we talk about the journeys that we've taken, but also what you're doing now with all that you've learned and how that's helping to uplift other people on their journeys. So let's start with where you are now. Like, what is the podcast that you're doing and these vision videos that are around Just Grow? And what does Just Grow even mean?
Yeah. Oh, man, it's quite a story for sure. But I figure I would like kind of chime in on what you're saying about self-love, because I think, in all honesty, it really stems from that. And I've already learned so much from you guys, and just having you guys on my podcast and you talking about love and self-love. And it was interesting because I did a breathwork sesh with a good buddy of mine last week. And that was one of my big realizations, is that, like, once you love yourself, that's all that really matters. Because what I believe is that once you truly believe in yourself, that's when you can have and be anything and everything you want. And self-belief comes from self-love. So Just Grow, it's a podcast that I started just over a year ago. Was out in Utah by myself for about a week. I was dealing with some particular challenges in my life and kind of just trying to find myself a little bit more. And, you know, I was in a decent job. I just ended a relationship. I was just kind of open to whatever the next steps were, whatever that exactly meant. And I was on top of a mountain. It was the last day. I was having this really cool conversation with this guy who's an optometrist from South Africa. And I'd been kind of pondering the idea of a podcast for whatever reason. I really enjoy conversations like these because it fills me up. And the guy said something to me. He said, "Nick, you ask really good questions." That's got to be a sign, right? Mm-hmm. So then I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll start a podcast. And then I decided I want to do it unique. I want to do it different. Because in my perspective, coming from the marketing space, I know that people's attention is getting smaller and smaller every day. So it's like, how do I captivate people's attention? how do I actually get them to listen to my message? Because I have a, you know, I have a good network and I have a lot of cool people that I can interview, but how do I make sure that people are actually listening to it? So I decided to do it with an event. So I'd never really heard about this before, but I just decided, sounds cool. I got a lot of cool friends. It was my birthday coming up. So I was like, all right, podcast party. And I didn't know if anyone would come, but we sent out a bunch of messages and didn't really have a planner. I was just like, I don't, maybe people will come, maybe they won't. We made a little flyer. And a week after I made the decision, we had about 70 people in that room. It was just down in where we did our podcast. And yeah, then it just started gaining traction without ever realizing what this was actually going to be. It was just an idea I had on top of a mountain. Started having some really good conversations. People seemed to be buying into it. And now people are just constantly, you know, got a lot of people coming and saying, oh, this is amazing. And I'm just like, I just started because I love having conversations. And now we've kind of built it into more of an actual brand and a company. And it's cool to see the growth over a year. Because, I didn't really know what to expect, but it's definitely fulfilled me. And I feel very much in purpose and in alignment with this, more so than anything I ever have been.
And I know when we were talking, you mentioned that it was more like you were led to it. It wasn't as though you sat down and you wrote out a business plan and you had all of these typical entrepreneur type thoughts that went into creating this brand that you've created around Just Grow. It was more your heart just guided you into it. And you allowed it to unfold from within you, which seems so fitting for the brand. I mean, the whole point is just grow, right? Allow yourself to open up and follow your heart and follow where you feel yourself being led and guided. And so you're being the example for the very thing that you're showing to others. And for me, that's highly inspiring. Because it's not as though we can say, hey, be loving to yourself, but I'm not doing the very same thing. You are the example for what you're doing. And that's amazing.
Well, thank you for that. Thank you for that acknowledgement. It's been quite a journey. And I would say that I've been through a particular set of challenges over the last few years. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. After interviewing so many people now, it's just like, I feel like I get a really good understanding for people as a whole. I feel like I understand people a lot deeper than most people do. And even continuing to work on these videos now, I get to understand people. And I realize that no matter how much people flaunt how great they're doing, everyone has their challenges. And so, kind of another reason why this started was because when I went through a particular challenge, I tore my pectoral tendon. It was like a freak accident in the gym, but it ultimately started this whole journey of actually like opening up my heart. And I had started listening to a podcast by this musician that I followed. And I never really listened to podcasts before. For whatever reason, I'm just not a fan of them. I'd rather read books. But since I like this guy, I decided to listen to his. And it just gave me so much perspective. It wasn't like they were telling me, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. It was just like, they're just having a conversation. And, you know, he's pretty well connected. So he was interviewing athletes, celebrities, entrepreneurs, all sorts of big names. And it just made me realize how everyone's the same. Everyone's just a human being. And so when I saw that, I was like, well, I think I got some cool people that I could interview and give people that perspective too, and make people realize that we all are the same, no matter if you're making $50 million a year or $5,000 a year. And I think I come back to that a lot, like the whole conversation of not judging, because we all are the same. And it doesn't matter how much money you make. And I'm a big advocate of not judging people and just loving everybody for where they're at, because we're all the same.
And that's so key, because ultimately every person has an insecurity somewhere. Yeah. And every person has something that they're navigating through, as you said. Yep. And if we just continue to put every person either on a pedestal or down underneath of us, then we're not connecting. We can't connect if we're all constantly like this. And so having a voice and putting everyone on an equal playing field does help us even with self, because now we're not doing the same thing to ourselves, right? We're not putting ourselves up here or down here. We're even balancing our own ego.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is that, like, if you put someone on a pedestal and you think someone's better than you, then that kind of leaves you open to, I guess what I'm saying is that I always come back to this, is like, if you're judging other people, whether that's good or bad, it ultimately means that you're judging yourself, because everything comes from within. Right. So I just think it's silly to judge people, because it's like, it's making me feel worse about myself, because, like, okay, yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't make too much sense to me, because I think it always comes back to you. And it's interesting, because I've asked people that question. I'm like, because I get some backlash on this one, and I say that everyone's doing the best they can. And some people disagree with me on that. And I'm like, why do you say that? And it's funny, because without even trying to do it, I just have this kind of way about me now where I can kind of dig into people and without them realizing it. And then by the end of the conversation, they're like, oh man. But basically, it was interesting, because a person I went on a hike with, you know, about a month ago, she was saying, I don't think everyone is doing the best they can. And by the end of it, she's like, oh, I don't think everyone else is doing the best they can, because I don't think I'm doing the best they can. So it's just like, it just continues to open my mind even more about, like, everything comes back to you. And so that's why I really believe in that whole idea of non-judgment.
So what part do you feel that plays in self-love then? How does that wrap up to tools or techniques that you've even used for yourself in your self-love journey?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think you could even trade and replace judgment with the word love, right? If you're not loving someone because of this, or this, that probably means because you're holding love back from yourself because of this, and this. But if you genuinely just love people for exactly who they are, where they're at, then it comes back. And yeah, I think it's been a journey for me, for sure. And I'm still on that journey. I continue to love myself. And because, you know, in the entrepreneurial world, you're praised for hustle, no sleep, grind, you know, sleep when I die, that kind of mentality. But it's like, That's not healthy, you know?
Or sustainable.
Right. That's a good point. Like, it's not sustainable. You can post those type of Instagram captions for a little bit, but it's just like, it's not gonna keep going forever. So yeah, I think it's striking the balance of, in my opinion, it's striking the balance of, like, having that direction, going after what you want, but also enjoying every step of the process and loving yourself through every step of the process too, because you're not going to be perfect. And it's funny, because I grew up an athlete as well. And I was, I pride myself on discipline. And so it's like, I would beat myself up a lot when things wouldn't go right. And I've done that from a young age. Like, in baseball, when I strike out, I get so upset with myself. And it's interesting, because I've even had, in baseball, but even since, in the entrepreneur world and just different programs and stuff that I've gone through, I've gotten that feedback so much. And they said, if you were just a little bit nicer to yourself, you would probably be way further than you are right now, which is kind of an interesting paradox, because it's like, I want this, I'm going after this, but the thing that's holding me back is me not loving myself. So the more you love yourself, it's actually allowing you to get to where you want to go quicker.
But we're not really taught that, in all honesty, either. And not because our parents didn't care to do it or any of those types of things. I just personally have found from my own experience coming in and through this world that it's not something that's front of mind. We actually feel judgment from others. And so we start to judge ourselves, or maybe it comes from the inside first, but just kind of all starts. So then it has to be a proactive move from the inside to stop that cycle and really catch ourselves. And I don't know that we're all mindful that we're even doing it. But if we look at media, or we look at the things that are outside of us, you know, fear sells. We were talking about this too, yeah. Right? The fact that you don't feel good enough actually sells products. It's how the beauty market sells products. It's how most things sell products. So there's that negative brain bias that we hold for ourselves actually sells things. So then we have to be the ones to shift that from the inside. And I think that's where your vision videos are really key. Because if we're going to be fed that we're not good enough from one direction, we have to have a means to feed ourselves something different to create a positive brain bias from the other side. So can you talk about your vision videos and what that's about and how it can help?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm glad that you brought it up, because it is something I'm really passionate about. And it just kind of like, also just, it was another crazy idea just out of nowhere. But you know, I've been a big fan of visualizing and just like seeing things before they actually happen. I'll close my eyes and think about it. And when I played baseball, I had this really interesting, unique story, because I really started getting into visualization. It was my sophomore year of college. I was at a junior college, so, and I wanted to play Division I. So I was really just doing everything I could to have the best year I possibly could. And so visualizing was one of those things. And it was crazy, because I literally imagined exactly what was going to happen. I imagined I was going to be the last batter in the last inning, first pitch. I was going to hit a home run off the 7 on the scoreboard. I don't know exactly why that came to me, but it did. And I just, like, the whole game, I was just sitting, like, when I would come into the dugout, I would see that and visualize it, and I would, like, get chills. And I was like, I knew it was going to happen. And sure enough, like, the whole game, back and forth, like, boom, this. The exact situation, the exact setting came up, and I'm like, this is wild. And I stepped over the plate, and the pitcher started his windup, and I got chills down my back. I was like, I knew what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, just boom, hit it, rocket off the 7 on the scoreboard. And I'm running around the bases. And I mean, the crowd was going wild for sure. And it was just like a really cool experience, because that's one of the coolest things ever on a baseball field, is to hit a walk-off home run. And it was pretty rare and unique for our particular situation. So it was like, it was really exciting. But I remember to this day, like, I remember like rounding first and second. I'm like, what just happened? Because this is far beyond like a baseball game right now. Something like big happened here. And I like, I don't know what that is. I'm going to enjoy this. But I think that seed was just planted in my mind of like, wow, that mind or whatever is going on here is really powerful. And so that really stuck with me. And I've been a big fan of visualizing. And so that's kind of where this came from. Because after I did my first podcast event, one of my friends sent me a video that it was this guy walking out on the stage doing a live podcast in front of about like 3,000 people. And I saw them, like, I got chills when I saw it, because that's what I want. I want to start throwing bigger events and, you know, doing that. And so then I downloaded the video and I put my branding on top of it just to make it a little bit more real. And then somehow I showed my friend, and he said something about like, oh, that's probably not the only thing that you want, right? And for whatever reason, like that just sparked it. And I'm like, vision boards, but turn them into videos to make them more real. Because What I see the challenge, because I've had a lot of, like, even though I've had like some of those really cool experiences, I feel like I've had challenges with visualizing, because it doesn't sustain for me. And I'm like, why is that? And how can I create something that can help me actually fulfill the things that I really want to do? And so I realized probably one of the biggest things is that why I was able to utilize visualization in baseball is because it was so important and meaningful to me. And like when I would close my eyes and see myself hitting a home run, like it would give me chills. And so I was like, well, I think this could be like the perfect thing. So basically take that. But kind of the reason I'm telling you all of that, and I think how this really applies to the whole self-love conversation, because without even realizing it, I thought at first this was just about the vision and like, oh, seeing, you know, what you're about to go do. But there's so much more to that. And it is about the self-love, because if you're not feeling good about yourself and you start thinking about the things that you want, it's actually hurting that process even more than helping it. Because you don't feel good enough, you're focused on the lack of it, and you're very unlikely to get that. And so what we did with the videos is that the first like half of it, I would say, is about building you up, building up your self-esteem, building up your self-belief. And then we also have like family, friends, people you look up to and admire, record voice notes or videos, and we put that in your video so that you can hear people talking about how amazing you are. Because I'll be straight up, and it's interesting because this isn't something I tell a lot of people, but it's just like, when I first made that video, like, I would have to say self-belief and self-love was not at its highest. And so I was leaning on some tools to help me get there before I could really believe in myself. And I just find that's what's interesting, because that's one of the people's favorite parts now. They say like, it was such an amazing experience just to send that love to other people, and then they would send the voice notes back, because we have them send it out first to like give an example to people. And so they say that's the coolest part about the entire process, is they get to like share all this love and gratitude, and you throw that out and then it comes right back. And I'm not kidding, like every day I watch one, I still get chills, and it still brings me to tears when I hear people tell me how much they're grateful for me, how much they believe in me. So it like really builds me up and gets me feeling good. And then I start to think about the stuff that I want. It just, that's when it really works.
And that's amazing, because it goes back to that connection that you were talking about in the beginning, right? Putting people without, when we level the judgment, we don't put anybody higher or lower, and we all connect. That is feeding our self-love. And now you created a tool that allows that to feed into itself and to actualize it so that you can move forward with it. Because yeah, self-love does begin within, but if you don't have the tools to begin there, you have to have somewhere to start. And so you've created a tool that gives someone a place to start, a point of entry, so that you can have at least somewhere to begin. And it's a beautiful gift.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I started it, I didn't realize what I was actually creating. Like I knew like right away, I was like, I think this is going to be big. And I thought it was because I was going to help everyone achieve everything that they've ever wanted. And I think it still has the potential to do that for sure. But I don't know, it's really special, because still at this point, I mean, it's still pretty, you know, we just started a few months ago. And last night, I got to show another one of my clients their video for the first time. And I'm all about experience and making sure that like people really enjoy the whole process, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's with the podcast or with the videos or anything, really. I'm big on experience. How do I make people feel special and heard and seen so they love it? All right, that's the big ethos for me. And so what I do, can't promise I'm going to keep on doing this forever, but I bring my clients into my house and we, you know, set a nice little vibe, light some incense, and then show their video on the big screen and have it loud sound and have them lay down on the nice comfy couch. But I just realized again last night, in a matter of minutes, my client was just in absolute tears watching all of this, and like reminding her of how amazing she is, all the challenges that she's overcome, and all the people telling her how great she is, and just like really, really building her up. And I just think, again, coming back to the podcast, I think so many people need that, because I've understood like I don't care how successful you've been financially. Everyone has, no one acknowledges themselves, you know, because that's something I've realized. And I really do my best to acknowledge people as much as I possibly can, because I know this and I want to. But that's, it's like an acknowledgement to it. And because even I interviewed a guy that was just, it's crazy some of the stuff he's doing on a business stance. And he would say something. He said something, and I was like, that's amazing. Like, do you realize how incredible that is? He's like, well, it's just kind of normal now. And so I guess that's kind of where all this came from too, just maybe even this more subconsciously. Like, how do I help acknowledge people more? Because we need that. And I think it was interesting too, because like I had a pretty darn good upbringing. I got a lot of love in my family, great parents. And I know that not a lot of people have that. And so it's interesting, because I think about that, like, if I, with that type of upbringing, and I still have my challenges with self-love and self-belief and all that, imagine what everyone else is going through. So that's where this comes from, is like really wanting to help people really see themselves and acknowledge themselves and remind them of how special and great they are, because we all lose sight of it. Especially, I think, that the harder your upbringing was, the harder it is to really see that for yourself.
I agree. And science confirms that. That's where I always go back to, because we feel it, we know it, but sometimes logically it's hard for us to say, why do I feel this way? And scientifically we've proven there's a negative brain bias. We learn and retain far more from negativity than we do positivity. Because we were at one point in time struggling for our lives. And so we needed that. Now we don't need to do that, but we haven't let go of that brain bias. So we have to actually mentally pay attention and reprogram our brains with a positive brain bias. And that's where all of these mindfulness approaches, and we have to really focus in order to do that. But it is possible. And tools like what you're creating are the very thing that can help us move from that innate, instinctual, negative brain bias to a more positive, connected, uplifting, positive brain bias. And so what you're creating absolutely can change and make a huge difference in the entire human collective, I would say.
Yeah.
Even from a scientific
standpoint. Yeah. And that it's interesting, because that's kind of where it stemmed, where it came from. Like, I'm not a neuroscientist by any means, but I follow this guy, Andrew Huberman, and he talked about gratitude and what's based on neuroscience. Mm-hmm. What is the best gratitude practice? And he said that it's hearing gratitude towards you consistently. Instead of just like, oh, I'm grateful for my, like, hearing other people say, but that's basically what he said. So I was like, okay, well, let's throw some voice notes in from other people. And that's where that came from. And then I was like, I took it to a step, next step. I was like, okay, that's a gratitude practice. I would imagine it helps and works with belief levels too. So hearing other people say why they believe in you can help you get to that point where you start believing in yourself more. I even listened to a podcast yesterday, it was, and a guy named Russ, a music artist, very popular these days, and he talked about how why it's so important to have at least one person in your life that believes in you more than you believe in yourself. Sometimes we need that. A lot of times.
Need someone there. Yeah. We all need a cheerleader.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's very important. So if someone was interested in this tool, how do they find it? How do they get a hold of you? How can they engage in this type of a vision video?
Yeah. Probably the best thing is just go to our website, justgrowvisions.com. It's pretty proud that we put that together, because this was like the first time, like, even in the last few months, I feel like I've just been like pushing my comfort zone so much. For the first time, because I know how to build like websites and funnels and stuff like that. But for the first time, I'm like, all right, kind of like step up and act like a real business owner and CEO. And I hired someone to do it. And so she did an amazing job and she just put together this incredible video, or just webpage. So we have like all the information on there. And what's cool too, and this is why I'm really grateful for all the people that are in my life that just see the vision of this and support it. So like one of my clients, he recorded a 40-minute video explaining why these are so powerful from a scientific level, talking about beliefs, paradigms, thoughts, like everything that goes in and changing your neural pathways. And so we put that on the page as well, because I think it's really important to understand why this is powerful, because it's interesting. Like some people see it and they're like, okay, that's cool, but like, I'm not there yet. I don't have all those things. And so really doing my best to like communicate to people, like no matter where you're at, like this can truly help. And what I've found too is that, you know, it's a lot of with, you know, the actual things that you want to achieve and become, what's really powerful is just setting that intention. Like sometimes you don't even necessarily need to remind yourself of it every day, but just the fact that you do set the intention. Like one of our clients, he said he wanted to attract in a mentor and he never really got clear about that. But then, you know, in a matter of a month, came right in. And I think that's the powerful things. Like just decide on what's the things that you want, get and, you know, build yourself up, and then just decide on things that you want. Because I think that this has been something I've really thought on, is that, you know, people will say, well, I'm not getting what I want because I don't know what I want. And I think that's a cop out. And I'm not pointing any fingers because that was me. But it's like, it's easy to say that. Oh, I don't know what I want. I'm not getting that because I don't know. Well, why don't we decide? What do you want? And then if that is, when you get that, it's not what you want, then okay, let's change it. But at least decide and make a decision and make the intention that you're going to do it.
That's exactly it. Yeah. You can choose again.
Yeah. It's not a life sentence.
Exactly. It's like going to the grocery store. Fine. Like choose one meal to make. And if you don't like it, you make it. You don't like it, you can go back to the grocery store and pick something else, you know?
And that's what... Us silly humans, like we build up these things so much in our heads, thinking that like it's so serious. But like when we actually get those thoughts out and like kind of talk about it and express, and that's again why I love doing the podcasting, because like the things that I'm like freaking out about in my mind, and I just start talking about them, and I just realize how ridiculous I am.
Yeah, and we put more pressure on ourselves than I feel anyone outside of ourselves
so much
ever puts on us. Not always. There are individuals who are in social circles or families or others that there's a lot of pressure. So I don't desire to generalize because I've met some individuals. But all in all, most of us are in a position where we put the most pressure on ourselves. And then that goes back to that self-love again. Like self-compassion is such a big practice. So if you need an entry point for a video like this, I want self-compassion could be your place to start.
Yeah.
Like if you have to have one thing, then self-love and self-compassion can be the thing that you make your vision video on. What would that look like? How do you obtain that? Because there has to be a barrier to entry if you can't think of a single thing that you want.
Yeah.
Have to start somewhere.
Everyone starts somewhere. I remember hearing that a long time back. And I think that's probably what kind of like sparked me just continuing to share my story. Because I think if anything, that's just kind of been the journey I've been on for a long time. Because I could just share my story. And it was interesting because I was, when I first started my marketing career, I was in some like affiliate marketing programs and some network marketing stuff. And I would just, no matter how simple the story was, I would just like share it. Like if it was about getting, I got 5 leads in a day, which some people would be like, oh, that's it. Like, no big deal. But some people would be like, that's incredible. Now, the reason I share all that is because like I got that advice a long time ago and I just started, and then you know, you just stack that. Oh, I got 5 leads in a day. People want to know how I did that. start sharing that, and then you start getting 10 leads in a day, and then you start sharing that. So it's just like, the reason I'm telling, and that's kind of like going off on a little tangent, but I think it's so powerful to realize that everyone starts from somewhere. No matter if you're Tony Robbins or whoever, like, they all started somewhere. And I think that's such a valuable point, because so many people, and I've even had conversations with some people about the videos, and they're like, well, I don't think I'm ready for it, because I'm not where you're at yet. I think it's just like, wherever you're at, it's important to start, because the more that you put it off, the more you're going to continue to tell yourself that story and push that off even more.
And ultimately, we all have to take a first step. If we desire, and I'm speaking more from a self-love standpoint, we all have to take that first step to connecting to self-love. And knowing who we are and who we desire to show up as in this world. And it sounds like you've taken not only your first step, but you've hit the ground running now and you have your flow. So if you were to give one or two pieces of advice to young people who are coming up, or even, let's not even say young people, just anyone, because there are plenty of people who are well in their years who are still on that journey of self-discovery and self-love. What advice could you give someone who's navigating that path, since you've kind of walked it now and had to clear the vines and, yeah, and brush and everything that goes along with finding your way through that?
Yeah, I mean, that's an incredible question, and I think it's different for everybody. So I don't know if there's a blanket answer for it, but I'll do my best. I think the thing for me is, you know, it kind of came back to just asking questions and thinking about things more critically. The thing that kind of peeves me a little bit is people that don't think for themselves. And they just take blanket statements as truth of like, this is the way it is. Think like this, do this. And this comes back to the whole conversation of media, all that. We don't need to get into that. But, you know, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe, as long as it is what you think and believe. So I remember at one point, I remember thinking like one of my missions in life was to help people think critically. Because I think if you really think for yourself, you're taking time to sit back and analyze things and question things and just not believe everything you hear right away. I think one of my mentors said, at one point, said, it's a mark of an educated person to entertain an idea and not take it as true. I think I kind of butchered that, but that's the general concept of like being able to just listen and hear people out and not say like, okay, that's what it is. But like, take a second to like think about it. And I would have to say, like, in that same vein, is something that's been very helpful for me is just taking time to think. I don't think many people do that. And I think that's what separated me from a lot of people, is that I do take time to sit and think. I mean, I went to Utah for a week by myself. I do solo trips. I think they're really, really powerful. Some people think I'm crazy for doing them, but it gives you time and it gives you space to actually think. Because is actually the guy I first followed podcast. He talked about this. I thought this was a really profound point, is that how do you get to know somebody? You spend time with them, right? You connect with them. You're not on Instagram, you're not watching Netflix with them. You sit and you have a conversation with them, just like what we're doing. How do you get to know yourself? Same way. You're not going to hang out with yourself just doing work, Netflix, or whatever it is, or even reading a book or music. Personal development is great, but it's still not actually spending time with yourself. So I think it's really important to like take that time. Even over the last week, I've made a point to go to like Papago Park and just like chill and sit with myself and think. There's a book called The Road Less Stupid. Great title. But it talks about that thinking time. Like, just give yourself some space and think about that stuff. What do I want? What do I desire? What is the challenge right now? What's my priorities right now? If you just give yourself a little bit time to like sit there with yourself and kind of like think through it, most of the time you can figure stuff out. I've just really noticed that. Because even today, I was kind of thinking like some of the sales stuff that I've been doing hasn't been performing as well as I wanted to. And I'm like, why is this? I'm like, well, maybe I should sit down and like think about this a little bit instead of just like going and doing. And I think it helped immensely that I just slowed down a little bit, took a second to think, and then the answer started coming.
Awesome. So in many ways, that's an active meditation. Mm-hmm. You're not sitting with your eyes closed, and which is a beautiful form of meditation. But there's another way to connect in that doesn't require that type of meditation, which I know now there are many people who are shying away from that form because they don't feel that they can get to that point yet. So they're too busy doing to suddenly shift everything off and just sit in that type of a meditative state. So what you're offering is that middle ground, what you were talking about with the video, right? Just choose one entry point. What you're explaining is an entry point into meditation where there's kind of that median. You don't have to sit in meditation with your eyes closed to be with yourself. You can just sit and ask yourself questions about what's important to you and what you need to do. And then that connects you with yourself, to know yourself, and then to love yourself.
I think another really powerful piece that I definitely want to make sure we hit on is journaling and reflecting and writing things down. And on top of that is actually going back to all the journal entries and like think about where I was, like say, oh, that's what I was thinking. But because the cool thing is about journaling and going back to those is like when you're writing stuff, you're usually in an emotional state where you're processing a lot of this stuff. But then you go back to that a couple weeks later, months later, even years later, and you're like, oh, wow, that's where I was. You kind of like look at things from a more objective standpoint. And so you're not so much like in it, you're kind of like above it. And I think at the end of the day, really what this all kind of comes back down to is awareness. And I think that's always kind of the first step. The more awareness that you can get on your life, the more you'll be set up. And the only way that you can be aware is if you do take that time. And I think it's really powerful to document it. And it's funny how I've transitioned a lot in my life because when I heard about like spirituality and meditation, I'm just, I don't need that. Like, I'm good. Thank you though. Same thing for journaling. I was like, I don't have time to do that. Like, what am I going to write down? Like, that seems like a waste of time. And now I feel like it's essential. I feel like I can't operate without it. So I think it's slowing down because here's the one other thing I'll say about it is that I read this book called The Master Key System, and there's a lot of great stuff in there, but there was one thing that really stuck out to me, and it said a single idea can be worth millions of dollars, but the only way that you're actually going to have those ideas, if you give yourself space to have them and slow down and be receptive for those ideas. Because I tell you, if you're just going and doing, you have no space to like receive that.
Very true. And if you look at some of the most successful, or what we might deem as successful individuals in the world, they practice that flow. And so there has to be space in order to receive. And I love that. And I am an avid meditation individual. I love meditating, but I do honor the fact that we're in a very do-oriented world. And so to ask someone to go from, I get up at 6 a.m., I have to get the kids ready and then get them to school and go to work and then come home, pick them up from school, get dinner ready, then log back on to work at, 8 o'clock to wrap up. And where is their time to like stop and meditate within there? We can't just say, oh, well, that's the solution. Providing those steps that can allow them to just gradually step away and take those few moments to themselves. I think that's pivotal. because connecting with self-love and knowing of self isn't about creating more judgment on ourselves of, I failed because I couldn't carve out 15 minutes to meditate. But if you offer a solution like, hey, you don't need 15 minutes to meditate, can you take 5 minutes to step into a room by yourself and just ask yourself a couple of questions? That's an amazing opportunity where now we're not creating self-judgment, we're creating self-actualization opportunities.
And I think it's like you said, asking yourself questions. I think I've even realized recently, it's really powerful to ask these questions out loud. Like have conversations with yourself. I don't know, some people might look at you like crazy, but.
That's okay. It's okay. Aren't we all a little crazy?
Yeah, pretty much. I have a good friend that like shared that with me, and he would always ask himself a question. What do I desire? What does Nick desire right now? What am I grateful for? Actually ask yourself these questions. And sometimes you don't even need to necessarily answer that. Because I learned a long time ago, sometimes I forget about this. His name is Noah St. John. I believe his book was called The Secret Code of Success. And he took the approach of that affirmations aren't necessarily the best way to go. Instead, ask yourself questions because our brains are like a search engine. It's just that you plug a thing into Google, you ask some question, you get a bunch of answers. And again, coming back to like the whole conversation about questions is the quality of your questions determine the quality of your life because they determine the quality of your answers. But, you know, it can really be on a subconscious level where you just ask the question and your brain just goes out and searches for them. You don't have to answer it right there. But I think it's been powerful for me to like ask myself those questions, especially when you like don't feel like it. I feel like that was the case even, I go through ups and downs, but even just like last week, I don't feel like asking the question, but that's probably the time you need to do it. And it seems to always play out like that too. It's like once I start doing it, I'm like, okay, all right, I'm getting back into the flow of things.
Kind of like working out your physical body, working out your emotional and mental body is the same way. The moment you don't feel like going to the gym, it's when you need to go to the gym. The moment you don't feel like working out your mental and emotional, it's the moment you need to do it.
Yeah. Because you never come back to it and you're like, oh, I'm pissed off that I went to the gym today.
Yeah. No. It's like, man, I feel so much better now that I just did that.
Right.
It's the same thing. So, absolutely. So you've touched a little bit on the story that led you to create these two amazing avenues that you have available. Can you share a little bit about, go a little more in detail, I know, about your shoulder. We talked about that some and how it just like shut things down for you and was an entry point into creating all of this. What did that do to you and for you? Because a lot of people would have just shut down and been angry at the world. How did you handle that differently?
Well, the thing I'll say is, and I come back to this all the time, is that I'm so, so grateful for my mom. Because she's the one that's, I don't know what I'd be without. Like, she's the one that's constantly pulling me out of the box. She just has this ability to do it in the most loving way. So I would probably have to give like 98% credit to her. Because I was kind of in that mindset. To even give a little bit more context to the shoulder injury, it actually happened pretty shortly after really challenging breakup, like really one of my first breakups. And for the first time, I was like experiencing real heartbreak. And I think that was kind of the catalyst, is that like I finally, like heart kind of cracked open, even though it like didn't feel good. It was finally, boom, it opened. So that's a big component of it. And it's interesting because I heard someone say, if you're lucky, you'll experience heartbreak. And I heard that, I was like, oh, no. And it doesn't feel good at the time. at all. Like, I don't wish upon anybody that has to go through heartbreak. It sucks. But I'd have to say that, like, every time I've had a challenging breakup, it usually propels me to a whole nother level in so many different ways and allows me to open up my heart more, have a bigger heart, and have more compassion and understanding for people. And so it's like this duality of, like, you know, the further you go into the dark, the further you go into the light. So, yes, I felt like shutting down. I really did. And I kind of did for a little bit. Because the thing that I said right after, so the shoulder injury happened, it's like a freak accident in the gym. But it's interesting because I finally opened up about having these challenges to my mom while we were driving to the gym. I was visiting them in Colorado and finally just, like, broke down, just pouring tears. And I explained, like, nothing's going good at all. And then we went to the gym and I, like, felt almost this sense of, like, relief by, like, letting those emotions out. And then I felt a little bit more aggressive in the gym. So I put on more weight. It wasn't ridiculous. I still stand by the fact that I wasn't being careless in the gym, but I put on a little extra weight. I did flat bench instead of incline, which I didn't normally do, but I was lifting, and literally, like, my last rep, my last set, I go to put it back up and it just falls right back on. And it's excruciating pain. And then I finally got someone to come help me to get the weight back up. And I went back over to my mom. I was like, I don't know what's wrong, but we have to go. Something is not good right now. And so we leave and we get back in the car. And I just, again, just lost it. Just start bawling my eyes out. And physical pain has never been that big of a challenge for me, like, for whatever reason. And so my mom was like, hey, what's going on? Is it physical pain? And I remember saying right then and there, I'll remember this the day I died, is I said, when it rains, it pours. It was like, I was expecting that. I was in that kind of energy. That, like, I was like, wow, that's where I'm at. And so that's kind of the mindset I was in. And ended up having surgery, didn't have health insurance. Like, it was not a good situation. And even after that, I was still, like, just having, I did surgery and had my sling on. I was sleeping on a recliner. And this one night, I just had a particularly bad attitude, and my mom finally just sat me down and said, what are you doing? Is this helping, is serving you? Do you want to keep doing this, or do you want to, like, actually get it together? And for whatever reason, that just spoke to me. I'm like, she's right. Next day, I woke up really early, got to work, started reading books, visualizing, meditating, probably more meditation. Started actually, like, really diving into a more of a spiritual practice for whatever reason. I think this whole thing was a very, I would say, like, a spiritual awakening. So, yeah, I mean, I had a hack, I would say, by an amazing mother. But I think at the same time, like, how do you want to look at things? Because how you look at, they say it's the way you look at things. I'm gonna butcher it, but it's just like, what do you want? Do you want to just sit and feel sorry for yourself, or do you want to get better and be the best you can? Because here's the thing, and this is what I've learned recently from one of my coaches, which is a hard pill to swallow, but I think it was probably one of my biggest breakthroughs I've had in my life. I think a lot of us, I'm talking to me, most importantly, is that I'll hold on to things. I'll hold on to people, relationships, thoughts, even. And it's because holding on to something means that you kind of think that what was in the past is better than what's coming in the future. That truly means that you don't actually believe and trust yourself, which, again, comes back to the fact that you probably don't actually love yourself as much as you want to. So by actually holding on to stuff, that actually proves that you don't believe and trust and love in yourself. So that shift within myself is like, and it, don't get me wrong, like, still, like, I have to continue to remind myself of this, like, choosing to let go, because that means I believe in myself. That means that I love myself. But I think just that realization it really started like opening up to me, like, okay, if I really do love myself, I really do believe in myself, I truly want all these things that I say I want, it doesn't even make sense to not let go, because that's what's pulling you back and causing you from not actually getting to where you want to go.
That's a very powerful, powerful story. And I can't imagine a better way to wrap up this podcast. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here and sharing all that you have with our community.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I mean, it's interesting. I haven't actually been on too many podcasts. I'm always the one interviewing people. So this is fun. It doesn't matter what side I'm on. I love having deep, meaningful conversations because it fills me up, and you know, other people can get perspective on it, help them out a little bit, even better.
We agree. And we'll make sure that everyone can find your podcast and your vision videos and how they can get a hold of you. So
awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us on another episode of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align. I'm your host, Amber. And don't forget, this month is all about self-love, and you can find the tool for self-love in the Heart Leader Toolbox. So take a moment and venture over that way. Until next time, we look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
You've been listening to the Heart Leader Podcast with your host, Amber, where heart and mind align. Tune in weekly on TransformationTalkRadio.com as we take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. Ready to take the next step? Join us and over 1 million people worldwide who've united in creating this global movement of love. Become a heart leader for today and tomorrow. Learn more and connect with us at suivera.org.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.